Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the... Today, we're reviewing the action-packed Transformers number 35 from IDW Publishing. We talk about some scenes that were filmed for Transformers Rise of the Beasts, and we have a little bit of feedback. Today is Friday, October 22nd, 2021, and this is episode 256 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that always loves a good old-fashioned Autobot-Decepticon street fight. I'm your host Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hello.
Fantastic fan artist Apollo, a.k.a. Robo-Apollo.
Hi, what's up, everyone?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Is there potential here for a Transformers musical? You know, the Bloods and the Crips, Autobots and the Decepticons, face to face musical.
No, Sharks and Jets.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. No, you don't think so? I think there's potential. I think we should look into it. Transformers the musical. Let's talk Transformers the musical.
They should adapt the 86 movie and be Transformers, the movie, the musical.
Yeah. Hunger. It got so bad I can't taste it.
Fix me.
I think we've stumbled onto something here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. We'll workshop it. As always, we start the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the show and helping us out. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a Donatrion, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And this week, also, we want to mention, of course, Empire of Rust, our Transformers Live Play RPG podcast. The next episode, Empire of Rust, episode 61, Magnum P.I., it's already available to our Donatrions as the uncut bonus version on our Patreon page. But this Monday, it will be available in the free feed, the regular edited episode, with the final sound effects and touches and everything that Mike puts in. That will be going up on Monday, and that will be available at transmissionspodcast.com/rust. So check out that brand new episode. And also we've got the next episode in our Empire of Rust Transmissions collaboration. So this is part 4, To Kill a Shrike Bat. And this is also only available to our Donatrons exclusively on our Patreon page. So that will also be going up this Monday, October 25th. So keep listening and enjoy. All right, let's get into some comics news. Just one little tidbit is we've got one of the covers for the next issue of King Grimlock. So this is issue 4. And this is the cover, the retailer incentive cover artwork by Maria Wolf. And so you can take a look at that. We'll link that in the show notes. So it's a cool image of Grimlock over vanquishing a dragon with his Energo sword. Very cool image there. King Grimlock, it's been a fun book. So I'm looking to see how it's going to end. And they're really leaning into the Madman's Paradise, that G1 episode. I didn't think they were going to homage that so thoroughly, but they've really kind of taken that as a template and greatly expanded it.
We're getting a lot of artists on these covers and stuff that have never really done something on Transformers before. And Daryl, the Autobot logo is not a stamp.
It's definitely drawn in, and I love it. It's great. It fits the style, and it's the artist gave it a go, and I gave him credit. Got to give him credit for it.
I believe that's a her. It's Maria Wolf.
Oh, sorry. I didn't read the name
or listen to me say it.
Nope, didn't do that either.
Okay, well, that's all our comics news, so we will get into our comic review. This week, we are reviewing Transformers number 35, Lord of Misrule, Sea of Rust 2. Written by Brian Ruckley, art by Anna Malkova, colors by David Garcia Cruz and Evan Gaunt, letters and design by Jake M. Wood, editor David Marriott, assistant editor Riley Farmer, and supervising editor Tom Waltz. We've got three covers. Cover A is Termagax holding the Enigma of Combination while Sixshot and Shockwave are coming for it, and that's by Juan Samu with colors by Sid Venblue. Cover B is The Enigma, the Autobots, and Termagax by Joanna LaFuente. And then the retailer incentive cover is Sixshot leading an all-out Decepticon assault. That is by Evan Gaunt. So, Daryl, which of these three covers are you liking this week?
I think I'm going to go with the RI. The RI is just a really cool-looking cover. Lot of action in, you know, about to take place in that cover. And that six gun, or sorry, not six gun, six shot in that picture is just awesome looking. I'm really into it.
Apollo, which cover do you pick?
You know, I like all of them, but I'm going to agree with Daryl on this. I like the RI cover. I like the action in it. And, you know, seeing Sixshot with all the other Decepticons flying behind him is really cool, especially because that's what, you know, happens in the book. So.
And Jeremy, which cover are you picking?
I'll have to agree. It's a really nice image. Good use of kind of focus where parts of it are blurred, and just so much kind of dynamicism in this. I really like it.
All right. Well, I guess I will make it unanimous and also pick the retailer incentive cover by Evan Gaunt. The other two covers are nice, but they're kind of very kind of static images that just prominently display the characters. But this six shot image here is a really dynamic and gives you the feel of what's happening in the book. So I like it. All right, well, let's jump in with the summary of the story. The cavalry has arrived. Skylynx carries the bulk of the Autobot forces led by General Pyra Magna. She quickly gets her troops in position to beat back the Insecticon clone swarm. The Insecticons are mindless drones, so Pyra Magna gives the order, "Don't hold back." The Autobots oblige her and unleash a furious assault on the Insecticons. After an intense battle, the Insecticon swarm is driven off. Pyra Magna calls up to Termagax, still inside her fortress, asking for an audience. Pyra Magna explains that Optimus Prime sent her and Wheeljack because he thought she'd be willing to talk to them specifically. Termagax is intrigued and does let them in. Meanwhile, Skywarp has found Shockwave's base and wants to call on his old friend. Slipstream, Flame War, Shadow Striker, and Hyperdrive are guarding the entrance and are not just going to let the volatile and unpredictable Skywarp just walk in. But Skywarp doesn't have to provoke a battle. Shockwave comes to the entrance himself, wearing his upgraded armor, with all his guns aimed at Skywarp's head. He asks Skywarp what he wants. Skywarp wants to get the band back together and join with Shockwave to take another shot at conquering Cybertron. Shockwave is not interested in working with Skywarp, especially in the mental state Skywarp is in. Skywarp admits he might have gone a bit mad after being stuck in unspace for so long, but he can still contribute. He asks if Shockwave is behind the Insecticon clone swarm at the Sea of Rust, and what's the target there? Shockwave answers simply, "The Enigma of Combination." Hearing that, Skywarp tells them to wait here and promises he'll be right back, and then just teleports away, much to Shockwave and the other Decepticons' confusion. Back at Termagax's house, she greets Pyra Magna and Wheeljack. Termagax is happy to see Pyra Magna has been released, but Pyra Magna wonders why she'd even care about her. Termagax answers that Pyra Magna's imprisonment was one of many moral failures of the old Autobot regime. Pyromagna dismisses the political discussion to focus on what's going on right now. She asks Termagax if she can post Autobot sentries on the top of her house to prepare for the oncoming Decepticon assault. Termagax begrudgingly agrees, but stresses that she won't join the Autobot cause. Pyromagna gives the order, and Sunstreaker puts Sureshot, RC, and Windcharger on the roof, while Skylynx burns a defensive trench in the ground with his flame breath. Inside, Pyromagna asks if Termagax does indeed have the Enigma of Combination. Termagax admits that she does have it and begins to explain why she's agreed to keep it safe but not use it. Pyromagna doesn't need the details. The true negotiator, Autobot leader Optimus Prime, is on his way, accompanied by the Prime Guard. Optimus Prime arrives and orders Ironhide and his guard to join the rest of the Autobot forces guarding Termagax's house. Optimus will go inside to greet Termagax alone. Before he can even say anything, Termagax tells Optimus straight away she will not give him the Enigma of Combination. Optimus replies that he didn't ask for it, but they both know Megatron can't get it under any circumstances, and the Decepticons are coming to take it. Termagax admits that she misjudged Megatron, but that doesn't mean she's going to join up with the Autobots. But Optimus is done with the bullshit. It's too late to sit on the sidelines, especially since Termagax was the founder of the Decepticons and is the holder of the Enigma. She has to make a choice. Outside, the party is about to begin. The Decepticon army, led by Sixshot, approaches, on land and in the air. Sixshot observes that the Autobots are already here, waiting for them. He orders the Decepticons to form up and get ready for an assault. And to soften them up, he'll send in the Rainmakers to clear a path. The three Seekers transform to Tetrajet mode and approach Termagax's house. Sunstreaker relays to Pyromagna that the Rainmakers are coming. Pyromagna isn't concerned. She's ready for them. The sentries are in position. The Rainmakers take a direct attack vector on Termagax's house, and just like that, two of the Rainmakers are shot down by Sureshot and RC's sniper rifles. Windcharger uses his magnetic powers to grab hold of the third Rainmaker, Iron Storm. Iron Storm's momentum is able to overcome Windcharger's magnetic field, at least initially. She crashes through the wall in Termagax's house and out the other side, dragging Windcharger behind her. But Windcharger gets the upper hand and directs her momentum to crash Ironstorm into the ground, knocking her out. Sixshot is not amused at the Rainmaker's failure, but he's got a whole army of Decepticons to deploy, and he gives the order, transforming into wolf mode, to attack. It's a full-scale Autobot-Decepticon action as both sides crash into each other. Neither side has a clear advantage, and the battle is fierce. Inside, Optimus Prime continues to try to convince Termagax to work with him. Pyromagna tells Optimus that since they are at the edge of the Sea of Rust, the Decepticons can only make a frontal assault, but she can't guarantee victory. Optimus responds that if the Decepticons get the Enigma, that's the ball game anyway. Termagax watches the battle from inside with dismay. Finally, she makes a decision. She still has one last trick up her sleeves. She orders her house to deploy the Spectrosynth drones. A hatch opens up and dozens of Termagax drones deploy to join the Autobot forces. Will this be enough to stop the Decepticons? To be continued. So, I have to admit, I am curious to hear what Daryl's thoughts are on this book, because I thought this book had lots of action and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really, fast-paced story, and the artwork was really nice. Anna Malkova's rendering of all the characters. I thought, a little bit of humor was thrown in there as well with Sixshot and Skytread and their back and forth. I just thought everything really came together nicely in this book. It's rare that we get a really high action book in the recent Transformers series. So I appreciated this one. So, Daryl, am I wrong, or was this okay for once?
No, this was a good one. I did enjoy it. It was action packed from start to go, or from start to the end. And it was, the artwork was fantastic. I was actually really impressed with Anna's artwork on this one. there's a frame when the bots are on the roof taking aim at the Rainmakers. I can't remember. Sure shot is there's a real close up on Sure Shot's face as he's looking through his scope, and it's just a shit eating grin on his face that he's just he's got the Rainmaker dead to rights, and he knows that the shot's gonna do what he needs it to do, and I love it. It looks fantastic. So the artwork and the panel just above it with RC just kind of leaned up against the wall with her rifle as well, about to take the shot as well. It looked great. The battle scenes looked great as well. A lot of the action scenes were very, very well drawn, and I was very happy with the art. The story is a battle story. It was great. I loved the little interlude with Subsea just hanging out in the trench. You're just sitting in the trench worrying and trying to get all that out. And the part of the story that kind of got me is right at the end where you said that all the Termagant's drones kind of dropped. This book starts as the Autobots kind of showed up to save Termagax and House from all the Insecticon clones, right? If the Autobots hadn't shown up, they were screwed. Like, they were, at the end of the last book, they were out of ammo. They were screwed. Where were the synth drones then? There was no mention of them. There was nothing. They just kind of, now they're here, right?
There actually was a mention in the last book, just before the Autobots arrive. Termagax is about to say, "Well, this is my last resort. This is the only thing I've got left. House deploy my." But then before she does it, that's when the Autobots show up.
Oh, so I'm wrong. Okay, good. Well, all right. Never mind then. all in all, I did like this book. This one did have some great battles in it, and I'm all about that. I'm not sure who said it. Somebody on here said it. Is that Skywarp is essentially they've turned Skywarp into Loki, and that's all I can see now, is that Skywarp is just being Loki in this book. And he's just kind of fooling around and screwing things up and just being, an agent of chaos in this world now. And, I'm not sure if he's truly crazy, but he's, they're definitely playing him off as being kind of nuts. I think he knows what he's doing. Other than that, I like the book. What is this, issue 34? 35?
35.
35. So we'll, I don't expect another one of these, these issues for another year. So, I was happy that we had this one. It was a good one.
I would have, for Skywarp, he feels more like the Joker to me than Loki. But, he does get that feeling that he's not. He's playing a different game, and is just, and to everyone else, he seems pretty random, but he's got some master plan in the works or something. I almost get the feeling that he's going to show up at this battle and the yoink the Enigma of Combination out of Termagax's hand and teleport away. And that's going to be an issue,
mm-hmm.
But we'll see, I guess. Apollo, what did you think of this comic?
I really liked this issue. It had a lot of action and a lot of plot in it at the same time. I really enjoy Anna's art. It's very impressive, and especially the rendering of the backgrounds and the environments that all these characters interact in is very impressive to me. Yeah, it's really interesting seeing Skywarp go in this direction, you know, kind of seeming crazy, but is he really crazy? You know, and I really liked how Flame War, after he left, she was like, I quite like him. You know, I thought that was funny. You know, and then I did like that little scene where Subsea is in the trench and he's like worrying about everything, and it's like a really relatable panel, like, you know. yeah, I really liked that, the little bits of humor in there.
Does he have a pre-traumatic stress disorder?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's just worrying before even the battle starts. Or it might be during the battle, but I really liked it, you know. It's you know, I'm just really curious to see what's going to happen next. You know, we have this battle still going on. Like, what's going to happen next issue? And it ended on quite a bit of a quick cliffhanger. So, that's my thoughts on this issue.
Cool. All right. Jeremy, we'll end it with you.
I also really enjoyed it. Before I get into some of the details, I will say that that scene with Subsea really made me go back to I've watched Band of Brothers like a million times, and there's like some scenes where you see like the soldiers in foxholes, and just, you know, knowing that a battle's coming, and just kind of the conversations that they have and stuff, and that this really kind of reminded me of that. And I think that's such an important scene to have before a big battle like this, that, you know, kind of really lets you get to some of the emotions that they're going through. And I really think that was a nice thing to have in here. We don't really see that very often. Like, onto the book itself, this was paced really well. I think the interludes, like the Decepticon, like the Skywarp bit, and then when you have like the non-action-y pieces where like Optimus is coming and stuff, those are placed really well, where, you know, you have action, and then it's a natural stopping point to go look at something else, and then more action coming. So the pacing on this issue was really good, in my opinion. Anna's art was fantastic. I really liked it, particularly where you got some of the up-close look at some of the faces was great, and then, like, that panel with Skywarp just burning a trench with his flame breath was really nice. The colors were great. Sorry, yeah, Skylynx. Sorry. I just really, really enjoyed the art in this. And then we haven't really talked about it very much lately, but the lettering in this issue was great. I mean, actually, I'm not sure who did all of these like word sound effects. In some of them, I think that Anna did, like where you have Wind Charger going through. That just looks like it's done as part of the art. But then there's some of them that were also just done, like the transformation of, you know, some of the transformation sound effects. Those were obviously done by the letterer. So it just, I don't know who did what in what panel, but particularly a lot of the more action-y sound effects were something we haven't seen in a while. And then just the way that some of these were done, like Wind Charger going through an O, it just, it adds a lot to the, you know, the comic art form has stuff like that, and we don't really see it that often because it has to be so serious. And I enjoy seeing little things like that, or like the, you know, jets going over text that, you know, describes how they sound. And it's just, it's nice. So, all in all, this is a very enjoyable book, and I'm very happy to be able to say that about a modern Transformers book.
Yeah, that's definitely a great point about the lettering and how it's blended in with the artwork and the action. Yeah, that's really cool. And yeah, that is our review of Transformers number 35. So this is yeah, this book's already been out for a couple weeks, so it should be available if you haven't picked it up yet. But yeah, check it out. And I'm hope, I mean, at least the next issue should continue directly this story. So hopefully the momentum can stay high. So we'll see.
If the story ends, or if it happens where Skywarp, as you say, yoinks the Enigma, I think we all think that's coming, but that will be very unsatisfying, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping there's a creative way around it.
Well, the Autobots do have their own teleporter with jump streams, so I don't know. Maybe we get a teleportation battle. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I don't know if she's up and around yet. Maybe she hasn't recovered fully yet. But okay, well, that is that was our comic review for this week. So we will move on to Transformers Media News.
All right, in media news this week, not a whole heck of a lot, except for a few stories about the movie. Transformers Rise of the Beast, we got a couple stories about that, and the first one is we're getting a close-up look at Scourge's grill. The Scourge is that big black truck that's all menacing-looking, and if you take a close look at the grill of the truck, which we got a close-up picture of, it is covered in insignias and badges of what we're assuming are bots that this character has killed over the years. And somebody went above and beyond in identifying all the different types of insignias, and we've got Maximals and Predacons and Wreckers and Decepticons, and it's everywhere. And I think even somebody identified a mercenary logo on here. So, hey, FJ, you're in the movies now, buddy. But there's quite a few different badges on here. It's not just Autobots and Decepticons and Predacons and Maximals. So you want to take some time and go through them. There's a bunch of badges on here. Next up, we've got a quick little chase scene that's filmed in Cusco, Peru, and it's just literally just showing Optimus Prime driving by a building. So not a whole lot to talk about. And then the next one is a little bit of a spoiler. There's a crash that happens with the Optimus Prime truck. So if you want to spoil yourself on the movie, you can watch the video. There's a little bit of an action scene. They're using practical effects, which is very cool. A lot of these movies are going to be very digitally enhanced. A lot of that stuff is all going to be done in post-production, but it's nice to see some practical effects still being used. So, this is pretty cool. So, you get to see it, before any of the digital stuff gets added. So yeah, pretty neat. Anyway, take a look at those videos if you want. We'll probably have more next week. I mean, this stuff's coming in fast and furious now. I don't know when filming's supposed
to end. That's a different franchise.
Anyway, that's the end of the movie news.
Okay, and let's move on to convention news.
All right, TFCon Baltimore is kicking off today, and of course, we have news for TFCon Toronto. They've announced that voice actor Paul Eiding is going to attend. He is the voice of Perceptor and Quintesson in G1. He's also had many other roles. Ben 10, the Metal Gear.
Star Trek.
Metal Gear Solid. Was he in Star Trek?
We talked about it last week. I got a card.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, he was been in Star Trek. He's done tons of stuff. Be sure to check him out in December when you're in TFCon Toronto. And then this weekend, while you're at TFCon Baltimore, or while you're watching PulseCon today, check out our Discord. Lots of stuff going on there. And we're going to be live chatting during the Transformers panel at PulseCon. And then if you're at TFCon Baltimore, be sure to check out our channel there for just coordination and just finding out like where all the fun stuff is, where all the people are, and just hope everyone has a great time. remember, wash your hands.
Yes, be careful.
Like I say. Yeah. And that is what we got for convention news.
All right, and we will finish up the show with a little bit of feedback. So in the Discord, Masterpiece Donatrion, Dinobot Maximize, had a little speculation question for the classic G1 Marvel comics. So Dinobot Maximize writes in, "Here is something I thought about while sorting my books today. And I wanted to get some feedback, some comic feedback. We were introduced to the Mechanic in issue 26 of the original Marvel run. They never did resolve what happened to him in the G1 run aside from one issue. What would have happened if he joined up with the Road Jammers?" So just to provide some context, the Mechanic was a small-time criminal who accidentally discovered the Ark and stole some of Ratchet's technology, medical robot technology, but the Mechanic used it basically as high technology to aid in his becoming a crime boss. And he did get the better of Ratchet using his own tools against him. So he was, you know, a bit of a threat to the Autobots. And even Grimlock sent Blaster and Goldbug after the Mechanic to retrieve the Autobot technology that he had stolen, and they did not get it back. So the Mechanic was still out there. But never appeared again in the Marvel comics. Much later, many issues later, the Road Jammers were another group of humans who were hired by Lord Zarak, who, as you might remember, is the headmaster to Scorponok. So he appeared in his human form, did not tell them he was actually a headmaster to a giant transformer, and gave the Road Jammers technology to capture and disable Transformers, because he hired them to hunt down some Autobot prisoners that they had released on Earth. I think it was the Trigger Bots that they were going after, and basically to test this technology to see how they could use this to disable Autobots in the future. After the Road Jammers discovered that they were working for giant robots, and they decided to go rogue and work for themselves, but they still had that. The Decepticons thought they had taken back their technology, but the Road Jammers still had some of the tech available, and they were going to use it themselves to continue to hunt down robots. So those were the two sets of you know, ancillary human characters that we never really saw again. The Road Jammers never appeared again outside of the one issue they were introduced. And yeah, nothing really happened with them. So, I mean, to speculate, at least the Road Jammers seemed to be bounty hunters, whereas the Mechanic was a straight up criminal. So it might have been, I think if the Road Jammers and the Mechanic actually appeared together in a comic, it might be the Road Jammers are trying to hunt down the Mechanic or stop the Mechanic from committing whatever crime he was doing, and then they might have figured out that their technology came from the same place. So that could have been an interesting story where the Road Jammers are now high tech bounty hunters. That's my speculation, but I don't know. What do you guys, I don't know if you guys even remember these characters or have any thoughts on where you could take some interesting stories with these guys.
I personally never liked the issues that had human characters in them. Give me Sparkplug and
Buster.
Buster. That was who it was. I don't even remember. That's, you know, that's how often I read the original G1 comics. So yeah, the human characters that were portrayed as villains and such. I mean, Circuit Breaker is probably the only one that really stands out. But yeah, I mean, when you bring up the name, then I kind of remember it because he's on the cover. But yeah, I don't even think about it. It's he didn't come back. Okay, that's news to me. If he doesn't come back, that means Megatron killed him. That's what I'm going with.
Okay. definitive answer. I did like, I mean, these are all, I think all these creations were Bob Budiansky. This was before Simon Furman took over the book. I did think some of the minor human characters Bob Budiansky introduced did have some fun, interactions. But yeah, I mean, definitely that's my complaint with the live action movies is that there was too much of a focus on the human characters. I think in the Transformers comics, they were always side characters. They were never got too much of the focus. Even just a single, a couple of issues where they appeared, it wasn't like they were taking over too much. So it was always interesting to see how you could make a human a credible threat to a Transformer. So I thought that was just an interesting angle. All right. Well, Dinobot, thanks for writing in. And hopefully we gave you some interesting answer. And yeah, maybe you could tell us what you would have thought. We would have liked to have seen with the Roadjammers and the Mechanic coming back, or any other human characters or side characters in the Marvel comics that didn't really get expanded upon. So, and that's all the feedback we have, and that will do it for this episode of Transmissions. As always, we give a shout out at the end to all of our Masterpiece Donatrion. So thank you very much to John Forex Levengood, Dinobot Maximize, Demon Tech 82, and Septimus Solvane. You guys continue to be awesome, and thank you for continuing to support us at the highest level. If you'd like to help out the show another way, you can buy some merchandise from our TeePublic store. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. We've got cool shirts, masks, and other merchandise, all with Transmissions logo and art. But you can also get anything from TeePublic through that link to help out the show. So if you are looking to buy any merchandise from tpublic.com, don't use that site. Just go to transmissionspodcast.com/shop, and that's where you can get everything you want and help out the show. Apollo, thank you again for joining us this week. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find your stuff online?
Yeah, you're welcome. This is a fun week to be on. I always enjoy my time here on Transmissions. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RoboApollo. I am an artist and I do have commissions open. So if that's something you're interested in, you can send me a direct message about that. I'm also pretty active in the Transmissions Discord server. So if you just want to talk Transformers, I'm around and look forward to talking with everyone.
All right, and that will do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.
You guys are only on the show, once a month. I gotta do this shit every week.
I know. Your wallet.
He does. Cool. He likes to treat me. I'm a kept man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's taking care of you nicely. I was gonna say something else and then I get censored myself.
All right. Well, TFCon has, I guess this will be our final guest announcement between.
Nope.
When we record this and whatever they announced before the show.
Nope. Look at where this is going.
This is Toronto, not Baltimore.
Oh, never mind. I mean, Mike.